Blog Talk Radio. You know, there was one day in the ministry of Yahshua HaMashiach that his disciples came to him. They said, Master HaMashiach, teach us how to pray. He said, when you pray, I want you to pray in this manner. Come on, let's give y'all a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. This is what we should pray in right here. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together.
Oh, our Father, the God of heaven, hallowed be your name. The kings of your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us evil. You are the power and the kingdom forever. We pray. Let the kingdom come.
Let
the
will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Let the kingdom come.
Let the will be done. With plenty, as we await the coming of our King. So lift your head up, keep looking to the sky. Israel, you'll be lifted up.
Let's read that verse one more time.
Come on, come on, come on.
That's why we pray here. That's why we pray.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day and give us. Forever, your kingdom is forever.
Come on, give y'all a shout of praise. Shabbat Shalom, Kol Yisrael. You are listening to Sound the Trumpet Radio Ministry. I am your host, Rahab Pathwell Ben Yaakov, joined with you on this Shabbat day once again. We do Tola Yah for allowing us to be able to see another Shabbat day whereby we can come together and worship in Ruach, spirit, and in truth, and enjoy the teaching and inspiration of the Word of the Most High. Today's topic, we will be dealing with a very controversial subject concerning the appearance and resemblance of ancient Israel and Israel today. This is a topic that I definitely want you all to listen to today, because it's very important that we understand what Scripture tells us concerning the physical appearance of the Israelites in Scripture and of today. And many people today do not understand the magnitude and the very diabolical, deceptive influence that has permeated generations of mankind to hide and to disguise the true attributes and the true physical attributes and traits of Israelite in Scripture and Israelites today. And we have to understand this because the prophecies that are unfolding and unfolding in the time and frame that we're living around, and even the second coming of Messiah, it is going to be centered and surrounded by the revelation and the reinstitution of Israel as a whole, just not one tribe, but all 12 tribes being joined together as Yah established his kingdom through his chosen people, through his elect people, in whom he has called and elected to be those who will be kings and priests and heirs of this everlasting kingdom that Messiah is going to set up upon the face of the earth. But before Messiah can even set up the kingdom of Yah on the face of this earth as a entity, as a physical entity on the earth, he must gather together the elect, or he must gather together Israel from the four corners of the earth in which they have been scattered to. I want to play one more song. Let's play one more song as we come together today to hear this teaching. I want to play one more song, and then we're going to get into this teaching today, all right? So stay in tune. I'll be back shortly after this song.
We praise your holy name. glorify your holy name. Blessed be the name of Yah.
We praise you today.
Hallelujah.
We praise you today. Oh, oh, oh. In all the heavens, in all the earth, we call your name.
Hallelujah. Todah Yah. Once again, you're listening to Sound of Trouble Radio Ministry. I am your host, Raha Pathuel Ben Yaakov. Join with you on this Shabbat day once again, my brothers and sisters. Such a great pleasure for me to be able to be joined with you in fellowship in the unity of the Ruach, the Spirit of the Most High. Let's get into this teaching today as we will be talking about the physical appearance of Israelites in Scripture and today. There's several things that I generally hate. I cannot stand. And that's when I look at movies such as this new movie, I believe it's called Kings and Gods or something like that. It has Christian Bale playing Moses in this particular rendition of Moses being in Egypt, the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And I cannot stand these movies that portray Egyptians as people of Caucasian skin, and when it portray Israelites as Caucasians as well, because this is a diabolical lie, and it's propaganda to brainwash and to train people's minds to think that Israel and Egyptians were people of European descent, or their skin color were those of whites, as we call it today. And don't get it twisted. I'm not here to preach some type of racial message or discrimination against any type of ethnicity or race. I'm here to present truth. I'm here to present what Scripture says. The Scripture says that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. It's only by truth that we are made free from deception, from lies, from propaganda that has been influenced by the orchestrated plan and diabolical scheme of HaSatan. And whether we like it or not, people, ancient Israelites in Scripture were not people of white skin. They were people of color, okay? And these people, Israelites today, are still people of color, whether we want to buy that or whether we want to receive that or not. You need to do your history. Do your history. Even if you are a Caucasian person or a person of a different hue of skin, okay, don't get offended by this. Go research what I'm saying to you and see if it's the truth. There's a lot of Caucasians and people of white skin, if I may use that terminology. I'm going to use that terminology for clarification purposes, okay? First of all, there's no such thing as a white man or a black man in general, okay? Back in the times of Moshe and the prophets, nationalities were not segregated based on their skin color. They were divided based on their lineage or the tribes in which they come from. That's what kind of put the distinction between heritage, lineage, and tribe and family, okay? There was no racism during the time of Israel as far as their skin color and things of that nature were concerned, okay? This word white and black was formed to bring about a racial divide. It was formed by people of white supremacy who wanted their race or the Caucasian race or European race to be more superior than any other race upon the face of the earth. That's why a lot of the history of Africans, even the word African, you know, it's something, because even the word African is not a proper terminology that is associated with the people who are from that particular region as we know today as Africa. Before Africa was known as Africa, it was called by a different name. It was called by a different name, okay? The name Africa actually is a European or a Greek. It's either a Greek or I believe it's a Greek name. It is a name of a European. His name was Africus, I believe. And he conquered that region, and he named that region or the countries in which he had conquered, he named them after himself. That's how Africa became known as Africa as we know it today. Before then, it was not called Africa. So we're going to see people that a lot of the Middle Eastern countries, the continent and countries that we know today as Africa were named after European people. They changed the whole culture. They erased the whole heritage of either the Hamites and the Israelites as well. Because when we look at scripture, we're going to see a close relationship. It's a thin line relationship between the Hamites and Israelites as well, okay? We're going to see that, and that's what we're going to deal with today, because it's going to take understanding the close relationship that Hamites have with Israelites and Israelites have with Hamites in order to understand the physical appearance of Israelites. Today's Israelites, as we know today over there in Israel today, these are imposters that have been invented, as Salomo Slam written in his book, The Invention of the Jewish Nation. I dare you to go read that book. I dare you to. I double dare you to. Okay? The people that we know today over there as Ashkenazi Jews, I believe they make up maybe anywhere from 50 to 75% of those people over there who call themselves Jews are Israelites, okay? They are not the true seed of Israel. They are not, okay? First of all, if you do a geographical and the genealogy of Ashkenaz in Scripture, you will see that Ashkenaz is from the downline of Japheth. Japheth is the father and the progenitor of what we call the European nations today. So how can a European calling himself an Ashkenazi be associated with the tribes of Shem, where the Hebrew origin or Hebrew Israelites derived from Shem? Shem did not have any descendant named Ashkenaz. You can look through the whole genealogy, even in Chronicles, even in Genesis chapter 10, you will see none of the downline of Shem named Ashkenaz. That's from the downline of Japheth. So we have to understand that even when you look at the prophecies concerning the restoration of Israel, there is no prophecy that states that a global council known as United Nations or the UN will come together, and this one little short man is going to stand up and declare themselves to be Israel, okay? There's nowhere in prophecy in the New and in the Old Testament that states that Israel will come to be or be restored in that fashion. When we look at the restoration of Israel, we only see that Israel is going to be restored and regathered when Yahshua comes, the second coming of Yahshua. And Yahshua has not returned a second time yet. So therefore, the Jews or the Ashkenazis over in the land today do not fit the prophecies concerning the end time restoration of Israel. Because when the true house of Israel is restored, Messiah is going to gather all 12 tribes together. That's what he's going to do. He's not going to gather one tribe and put them in the land and all the rest of the tribes be scattered until he comes. That's not what Scripture says. In order for Israel to be a nation of people or a national entity in the face of the earth today, all 12 tribes have to come together once again as in the times of David or David the king. That's why a lot of the associations of David are associated with Messiah as well, because that is Messiah's main goal, to gather the 12 tribes of Israel. So we have to understand, what is the physical appearance? How did Israel look in the scripture? Are there accounts and are there clues that we can correspond and relate these incidents and these correspondence to ultimately come up with the answer of the physical appearance of Israel? See, for me as a colored individual, or as a black man, as society calls us today, people of color, my ancestors and people did not have a problem worshiping a white Jesus. We had no problem with that. We did not have no discrimination against that. But once I began to come to the knowledge of truth and begin to research scripture, and the Ruach began to lead and guide me into all truth, I began to see that this image in which has been portrayed just in the recent, probably about 500 or 400 years, this image of what they call the white Jesus has existed. That many people today do not understand and know that this painting or this picture of a white Jesus does not fit the descriptions of how Yochanan saw Yahshua and how Daniel saw Messiah Yahshua in the physical sense. All right? It does not add up. And even when you begin to do a historical research on the paintings of the white Jesus, you will see that the origin of that painting only goes about 400 to 500 years. Before that painting was painted by Michelangelo, that painting was painted by him, and even that image of what they call Jesus Christ or Jesus Cristo, that picture was orchestrated by the Roman Catholic Church. But even before then, all the images and all the pictures and all the paintings that were painted of who we call Jesus Christ today was a picture of a black man with an woolly hair in a sort of type of afro. Go back and do your research on that. Look at that. I'm going to do some videos on this too, because this is very important for us to understand that how history has been whitewashed. There's a scripture in the book of Maccabees. Maccabees is also historical writings of Israelites during the occupation of Greece, okay? There's a scripture that says that they took the sacred writings and scrolls of the Most High, and they begin to interject the likeness of their gods in scripture. And that is what has happened even in the scriptures that we have today, all right? This white supremacy spirit, these white supremacy groups, which dominate the world today, when you look on the ads, they promote whiteness as beautiful, all right? Whereby even black people today, black girls, if their skin is darker than another person of color, then they feel inferior or they feel insecure because their skin is darker. Why? Because they have been trained, and we as black people or people of color have been trained to hate our identity and to hate our heritage when our heritage goes back and much deeper and is much richer than what we even realize. So this white supremacy type of domination has dominated the minds of every nationality upon the face of the earth, even to the point of whitewashing and hiding and distorting the very likeness and appearance of the Israelites in Scripture and the Israelites of modern time today, okay? So what we want to do, we want to look up some scriptures and we want to go through some things at this time. And I want to show you this. I want to show you this because this is very important for us to understand, all right? If you have your scriptures, I want to begin reading. I want you to go to the book of Genesis. Excuse me 1 minute. I'll be right back. Hold on. Get your scriptures and get your notebook pads and all that good stuff, and I'll be right back. Hallelujah. I had to go and get me a cup of water because my throat was real dry and everything of that nature. All right, we want to go to the book of Genesis chapter 10. I want to begin reading at verse 1, okay? And I got some articles I want to read as well, too. Genesis chapter 10, verse 1. The scripture says in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 10, verse 1, the scripture plainly and clearly says, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah. The first is Shem, the second Ham, and the third Japheth." So these are the generations of Noah. After God destroyed the whole world, there was only 8 souls that were left. And out of those 8, Noah had 3 sons. Those 3 sons went and began to repopulate the earth, okay? So every nationality, every ethnicity, race, if you want to use that terminology, come from one of these sons, all right? One, the first Shem, the second Ham, and Japheth. What I want to deal with today, I want to deal with Ham. It's very important to understand because Ham, out of all three of Noah's sons, Shem and Ham have shared a close relationship with each other, okay, through the course of scriptural history and history in general, okay? Japheth, if you look at the book of Jubilee, these are books that y'all probably don't even know about. Some of you may know about these books, but I need to do a study on this. So much things I need to teach on, people. This not enough time to teach on all these things. But the book of Jubilee actually tells us, and Yasher tells us, where these 3 sons, what regions of the earth that they went to inhabit, okay? Shem, the book of Jubilee says that Shem inherited the middle section of the earth, basically, and Ham, he inherited the lower section of the earth, and Japheth went into the colder climates, or the northern regions of the earth, okay? So that's where his descendants and all of them begin to populate the earth, okay? Now I want to deal with Ham, all right? Let's skip down to, I want to show you something here. Skip down to verse 6 of Genesis chapter 10. Verse 6 of Genesis chapter 10. Now this is talking about the sons of Ham. The sons of Ham, the first Cush, Mizraim, Put, Hanan, okay? Cush is the father of the Ethiopians. Mizraim is the father of the Egyptians. foot is the father of the Lebanese, I got it on the tip of my tongue. The Lebanese, okay? And Canaan is the father of the Canaanites, okay? So we see here that Ham had 1, 2, 3, 4 sons. Mizraim, the Egyptian, is one of the sons of Ham. When you begin to look at some of the historians and Bible scholars today, they will tell you that Ham is basically the father of the black race or the African race. That's what they say, okay? We're taught that in Christianity. And a lot of times they say, oh, that's why blacks are cursed and they are made to be servants. And that's what the slave masters taught us when we were slaves and things of that nature, all right? They begin to whitewash our whole perspective and our whole heritage from us in order for us to make us slaves by brainwashing us to thinking that that was our destiny and our lot in life. When we begin to look up this word Ham in the Hebrew, it is Ham, which means hot from the tropical habitation, okay, which we know today as Africa. Africa, a tropical habitation, is very hot there as well. But also, there's something, and this is basically my opinion, when you begin to look at the Hamites, there is a certain characteristic about the Hamites, and you can see it, it's visible, it's there. When you look at their facial appearance and things of that nature, even in the eyes, it seems as though there is a heated and hotted expression. And some of you out there might be listening to me and say, oh man, that sounds strange. But I'm telling you, look at someone from Libya, all right? Look at someone from Libya, from that country or that part of the world, and then look at an Israelite that's basically from the United States, okay? Israelite from the United States. You put them beside each other, you can tell the difference, even though they share the same skin tone and their features, nose, lips, ears, hair shape, may be similar and the same and exact. But when you look at their countenance, look at the countenance and everything, you'll see there is a difference. And when you look at a Hamite or an African, a literally African person that is from that lineage or from that tribe, you will see that there is a difference because there is a heated type of expression or countenance there, okay? So that's just one of my opinions. That's something that I have observed, okay? And I just want y'all to take note of that as well, too. So the word Ham means hot, okay? That's what it means, hot. So you will have those theologians and Bible scholars and historians that will tell you that Ham is the father of the progenitor of the black race. If that be so, okay, if that be so, then we're going to see how the Israelites, as well, the 12 sons of Jacob, Joseph, in particular, who dwelt in Egypt or in the land of Mizraim, which Mizraim or Egypt is one of the descendants of Ham. So if Ham is the father of the black race, then that means that Egypt or the Egyptians would be people of black skin or people of color. Even when you begin to look at the hieroglyphics or the writings on the pyramids in ancient Egypt today, you will see that the drawings and everything depict a people of a Negro, if I may use that terminology, or of a African type of features that reside in Africa today, and even in the resemblance of people here in the United States and in the Caribbean and all over the world, okay? You'll see the same features, the same attributes, the same texture of hair, the locks, and all of that, okay? You will see that. But yet we still have archaeologists, people who go to these sites like in Egypt and other historical sites and things of that nature in the continent of Africa, and when they begin to do their documentaries, the first thing they want to depict the Egyptians as white people. How could that be so? If they are descendants of Ham, and Ham is the father of the black race, so-called, quote-unquote, then how are the Egyptians, or Mizraim, being the son of Ham, how are they going to be some white folks walking around there? And even the Egyptians that we know of today have been mixed, intermixed. Because when Alexander the Great, when he began to go on his escapades of conquering countries in the Middle East, Egypt was one of the first countries that he conquered. And it is a historical fact that they began to interbreed, they began to take the Egyptian women, and they began to use them as concubines. They raped them. They also took them to be as wives, and they begin to, of course, after three generations of doing that, then you're going to see a change in the pigmentation of skin color because of the intermixing and the interbreeding of tribes or drastic change in the traits or the genes of that particular tribe. Because of the intermixing, and that's what we have today. But even today, there is still people that reside in Egypt whose skin color are black. They are black people. You will not see them on popular newscasts such as Fox News, CNN, so forth and so on. You won't see these people on there. They always show these Egyptians, and they are light-skinned or brown-skinned or even white sometimes, okay? You will see that. But yet, here we have a whole another people that live in that same region whose skin color are black, and they share the same DNA. They say that they share the same DNA traits of the ancient Egyptians that were there before Alexander the Great began to conquer those countries, or Greece began to conquer those Middle Eastern or countries in that region, okay? So we see here Genesis 1 tells us that Noah had three sons. He had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we skip down to Genesis chapter 10, verse 6. We see that Mizraim, or Egypt, is a part of the lineage of Ham. Okay, this is the reason why I'm bringing this out. It's very important that we understand Egypt, because Egypt plays a very important role in the orchestration and establishment of ancient Israel, okay? Let's skip down to Genesis chapter 10, verse 13 through verse 14. Genesis chapter 10, verse 13 through verse 14. It says here, and Mizraim, which is the father of the Egyptians, he begot sons as well. The first, his name was Ladi, and the second, his name was Andamin, and the third, his name was Lahabin. All right, and the fourth, his name was Natukain, okay? These are the four sons of Mizraim, out of who came what? The Philistine and Katarim, or the Katarite, okay? These are descendants of the Mizraites are Egyptians. These are the different tribes that are associated with Mizraim, okay? Before we go into further scriptures, I want to read definition of ham from the online etymology dictionary, okay? I want to read this particular definition that they have, the etymology of the word Hamite. Hamite, it says here, a descendant of biblical Ham, used in reference to Egyptian and other people of the North and Northeast Africa, but properly a black African or a Negro. You see that? So here, even in this online etymology dictionary, you can go there, look up the word Hamite, you will see that it's talking about black African or Negro, okay? I'm getting somewhere with this. I want y'all to understand I'm getting somewhere with this, okay? So we see here that Hamite is also associated with black African, a Negro, okay? I also want to read a few more excerpts here that I have. I got these bookmarked, so I got to pull these up right quick. Okay, the Wikipedia. Wikipedia also talks about ancient Egyptian race controversy, okay? It says, this article is about the history of the controversy about race of ancient Egyptians. For discussion of scientific evidence relating to the race of the ancient Egyptians, see population history of Egypt. It says the question of race of ancient Egyptian was raised historically as a product of scientific racism of the 18th and 19th century and was linked to model the racial echelon based on skin color, facial feature, hair texture, and genetic attributes. A view circulated about the racial identity of the Egyptians and the source of their culture. These were typically identified in terms of distinction between Caucasian and Negro racial categories. Some scholars argue that ancient Egyptian culture was influenced by Afro-speaking populations in Northeastern Africa and Middle Eastern, while other point to influence of various Nubian groups or populations in Europe. It says, since the second half of the 20th century, many anthropologists have rejected the notion of race as having any validity in the study of human biology. Typically, and models of race have increasingly been rejected by scientists in favor of models of development based on geographical origin. However, the question of the characteristics, skin color, facial features, and hair texture and genetic affiliations of ancient Egypt remain a point of study and debate. This is what they say, okay? It says here, in the 18th century, The Count Vanello wrote that the corpse are the proper representation of the ancient Egyptians due to their fumed skin, which is neither Greek, Negro, or Arabic, their full face and their puffy eyes, their crushed nose and their thick lip. The ancient Egyptians were true Negroes of the same type of all native-born Africans. Okay, this is what this was written in the 18th century by Count Vanello. He wrote this basically saying on the attributes of the ancient Egyptians, their full face, their puffy eyes, their crushed nose, and their thick lips, the ancient Egyptians were true Negroes of the same type as all native-born Africans, okay? If you go back to the etymology, online etymology dictionary, will tell you that the Hamites properly, the Egyptians, they were black African Negroes, okay? So basically here, Count Valino testifies of the same thing, okay? I just want to read some of these inserts here. All right, so that's enough of that. I want to read one more. Let's read one more here, and then I want to get back into the scripture. I just want to show you some inserts. You can go back and look this up yourself as well. This other article is from a man called Robert Lindsay. Robert Lindsay. It said, what race were the ancient Egyptians? On the other hand, there is no evidence that the ancient Egyptians immigrated into or invaded the African continent. All evidence proved that they were an aboriginal African people. All their text points to the Upper Nile, the Sudanic and Nubian origin, and their identifiability, presence as a people, city, and state, and the center of a dynasty, empire, ranging over thousands of years in one geographical location, and that is Africa. Any degree of non-African blood or non-black blood that was evident in Egypt came from outside the African continent until the Ptolemaic Greeks. Most invaders' presence was short-lived and eventually repelled. Again, there is no evidence of any large non-African population immigrating into Egypt, even during invasion, let alone creating a 91% Indo-European population that would have overwhelmed ancient Egyptians' genetic foundation, which was African. So he's letting you know that the Indo-European population that would have overwhelmed ancient Egypt's genetic foundation, which was African, absolutely unfound and impossible, okay? It said, for earlier Greek scholars and historians to religious texts to today's prominent researchers, all have recited overwhelming evidence that ancient Egypt was a product of ancient Africa and that the people were considered black and African. And if anyone looked at the great Sphinx face and seen any other features but that of a subsaharian African, then they intentionally deluding themselves. So they saying that you can look at the artifacts and things of that nature produced in Egypt today, and you can see that the Egyptians, their writings, their paintings, the features resemble a black people or a Negro people or what we call an African people. There's a reason why I'm bringing this into play, because a lot of people today are eluded and have no idea that the Egyptians were people of black skin, of people of color, and their features were features of people of color that were resembled and that were associated with that particular region or with a particular tribe in which they were associated with genetically, and that was from Ham, from the tribe of Ham. So if you got Bible scholars, white supremacists telling you that Ham was cursed, okay, and we know that's a lie, that Ham was cursed, and that basically Ham is the father of the black race, and the black race is cursed, okay, if that be the case, then why we see examples in scripture such as Joseph was an Hebrew. He was an Hebrew. Matter of fact, Joseph was an Israelite as well. All right? If Joseph was a white man, like these Ashkenazi Jews over there, dwelling in Egypt, and Egypt being a descendant or a lineage from the Hamites, okay? And if the Egyptian were black people then Joseph would have stuck out like a sore thumb. And his brothers would have recognized him when they first saw him. But the reason why they did not recognize Joseph, it wasn't just because of the garments that he had on or the things that he had on that were associated with Egypt, but it was because they shared the same attributes and resemblance of the Egyptians dwelling in that land as well. Because even if you take a white man, put him in the midst of 1,000 black people, and you dress that white man up the same way as those black people, that white man still gonna stand out because his skin color is totally different. His attributes is totally different from a black person. So if Joseph was a white person dwelling in Egypt, and Joseph's brothers, if they were white, of a lighter skin color, if I may use that terminology, then they would have recognized, okay, this Joseph is not can nowhere be an Egyptian, okay? And they would have recognized him, okay, man, this is our brother. Look, he looked just like us. He got white skin just like us. But it wasn't like that. Why? Because the Egyptians shared the same resemblance as the lineage of Shem did, and as the Hebrews did, and as the Israelites did. They shared the same features and the same skin color. There's no way if the Egyptians are descendants of Ham that they would be Caucasians or white-skinned people. And see, these are things that people don't want to deal with. You got these white people who are saying, well, it doesn't matter what color it is. But yet, when they post pictures of Messiah, he's a white man. You know, I've had people that say that to me, even people that call on the name Yahweh and Yahshua, you know, Caucasians that call on the name of Yahweh and Yahshua. And believe me, people, I have no problem with our Gentile brothers and sisters. I have no problem with that because we have to understand that Israel was comprised of not only homeborn people or people of the lineage, the actual lineage of Yaakov, of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, but Israel was also comprised of strangers that lived among Israelites because they took on the customs and the covenant, the religion, if I may use that terminology, or the belief system of the Israelites. Therefore, the scripture says that there should be one law for the stranger that sojourn with us, and as the homeborn of the Israelite is before Yah, so shall the stranger be as well. So there were strangers that was also a part of the national body of Israel as well. But that did not make them of the blood lineage of Israel. That did not make them have the same features as the homeborn Israelite did, okay? That it didn't mean that. And I have no problem with that. But you got these Caucasians or these whites out here saying, well, it doesn't matter. He's no color. Messiah's not no color or nothing like that. That's a lie from the pit of hell because he came in flesh. He had eyes. He had ears. He had feet. His flesh had color, or his flesh had some type of pigmentation, whether it had any or whether it had some. He came in flesh, whether we want to buy that or not. And even the Apostle Paul alludes to that same fact, that Messiah was of the same flesh and blood, the Israelite heritage, whether we want to buy that or not. So this deceptive, diabolical lie has permeated the mind of men and women today for us to think that the Messiah or the people, the chosen elect people of Yah, Israel, are white-skinned people. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. The Egyptians were no white people. You look at the Ten Commandment movies and the recent movie that came out with Christian Bale in it. I believe it's called Kings and Gods or something like that. You know, I had started looking up. I couldn't even look at it because I hate the deception and the lies that are perpetrated behind this. And they want to show Israelites as being white people. When that's a lie, they want to show these Egyptians as being Caucasians or white people with this olive-toned skin. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The Egyptians, they were black. They were of a Negro feature, the same as Israelites as well. That's why Moshe, he blended in with them. Joseph, he blended in with the Egyptians. The ancient Egyptians were black people. And anyone that thinks otherwise, they are deluding themselves. I can show you scriptures that specifically say that Israel is black. It's in scripture. It's not a point of saying, okay, blacks are superior than whites or whites are superior. It's a point of truth. And anybody that loves truth, you're going to love what I'm saying. It doesn't make no difference what color you are, what skin color you are. Because it is the truth that ultimately will make us free. Now let's look at this. Egypt. The scripture says that Egypt is the strength of Ham. Let's go to Psalms chapter 78, verse 51. Psalms chapter 78, verse 51. Psalms chapter 78, verse 51. Once again, Tehillim, Psalms chapter 78, verse 51. This is what Dawid says. It says, and smote all the firstborn of Egypt, the chief of their strength, the chief of strength in the tabernacles of who? Ham. The tabernacles of Ham. So Egypt was the strength of the tabernacles of Ham. Out of all the families of Ham, Egypt was the stronghold and the strength of Ham. Okay? Let's continue on to Psalms chapter 105. Verse 23 through verse 27. The scripture says, Israel came into Egypt, and Yaakov sojourned in the land of Ham. The Canaanite, the land of Canaan, was the land of Ham, because Canaan, or Canaan, is a descendant of Ham. He is a son of Ham. He's a Hamite. Put. It's a son of Ham. He's a Hamite. The Egyptians is a son of Ham. The Egyptians are Hamites. Cush is the son of Ham. Cush is a Hamite. These sons of Ham share the same resemblance as Israel did and the tribes of Shem as well. It said that Yaakov, he sojourned in the land of Ham. Okay? We can see that in Genesis, that he sojourned among the Canaanites. He sojourned among the Egyptians. Okay? They sojourned there. Now, their customs were different. Their faith was different as far as in the Most High and things of that nature. I'm pretty sure there were things that set them off distinctively. But when we look at the complexion and the features of the flesh, they resembled each other. They did. Because there's no way if Joseph was a white man or like one of these Ashkenazi Jews over here, that he would have blended in or looked like an Egyptian, or his brothers would have thought that he was an Egyptian. An Egyptian. If the 12 sons of Yaakov were white-skinned, or people of white skin, then Jacob's brothers, when they would have saw Joseph, they would have known that he wasn't an Egyptian. They would have known that. They would have known that Joseph was their brother. But they did not even recognize Joseph. They did not even recognize Joseph. They didn't recognize him. Why? Because Joseph And the 12 sons of Yaakov, their skin color was the same as the Egyptians. The Egyptians were not white. Do historical research on that. There were not white-skinned people. There wasn't like these Egyptian, modern-day Egyptians that you see today. Even over there in the land of Egypt today, the Egyptians still are black people. There are black Egyptians that are blacker than night, if I may use that term. You even got Mexicans that are black-skinned. Whose hues of skin color range within the spectrum of blackness, from shades of light brown to shades of black. You can see that even in colored people here in America, in Jamaica, in the islands. You can see the same demographics as far as the skin texture and the different hues of skin. That's the same thing with Israel. The same thing with the Hamites. The same thing. Let's go to Psalms chapter 106, verse 22. Psalms 106, verse 22. The scripture says this. Let's start at verse 21 of Psalms chapter 106. He said, they forgot Yah, their Savior, which had done great things in what? Egypt. He said he'd done great things in Mizraim, in Egypt. Wondrous things where? Wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. So Egypt was considered also a part of the tabernacle of Ham and the land of Ham. Why? Because the Egyptians were descendants of Ham. They were Hamites. Todayah. Let's look at the account of Joseph. I want to look at this right quick. Many of you some of y'all may already know this stuff, but it's good that we go over this thing, and I just want to go over it so make sure it's documented in my archive, teachers and things of that nature, so people know where I stand with this. Because I know, it's not a fact of what I believe, it's just a fact, whether I believe it or not, that the ancient Israelites in Israel today are people of color. They are people of color. They are not people who are white skin. I just don't believe that. I don't believe it. I don't see it nowhere in Scripture where it says different. And even when we look up these words, we're going to read some scriptures. I'm going to show you that when it's talking about black skin, it's talking about the skin. It's talking about the pigmentation of their skin. It's talking about their complexion. That's what it's talking about, okay? And these verses where it talks about black skin is relating to Israelites. That's what it's relating to. And we're going to see that. Let's read in Genesis. I want to go to Genesis chapter 42. We're going to be skipping around here a little bit. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. Just read a little insert side of it. Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42, verse 3 through verse 8. The scripture says, and Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. So that, yeah, they went down to buy corn in Egypt. Excuse me, woman, I got someone trying to call in here. Hallelujah. Okay, let's continue on. Someone try to call me. I'll hit them back up after the broadcast. Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42, verse 3 through verse 8. It says, and Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brothers, for he said, least peradventure mischief shall befall him. It said, and the sons of Israel came to buy corn. Among those that came from the famine was in the land of Canaan. All right, remember the land of Canaan? Canaan, Canaan. When you look up this word Canaan here, it is Canaan, which means it says son of Ham. Son of Ham. Okay? It said Joseph was a governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren and knew them. So when they saw Joseph's brothers, when they saw him, they bowed down their face to the ground. But when Joseph looked on them, he said he knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spoke roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come you? Come you? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. They did not recognize Joseph. They did not recognize him. It wasn't because of what he had on, okay? It was because Joseph looked just like an Egyptian. He looked just like an Hamite. His appearance, skin color, everything resembled a Hamite. It was just more than just what he had on, because you could dress a white man up like an Egyptian and set him among black Egyptians. Okay, you're going to look at that white man, even though he dressed up like a black man, you're going to say, okay, that's a white man. Why? Because his skin color is different. So if Joseph was a white man, if the Israelites were white men, a white people, if I may use that term, or skin color were a lot lighter, or no, they didn't have any pigmentation in their skin whatsoever, and you placed them in among Hamites who were black, you mean to tell me that you're not going to be able to tell that there's a difference? You're not going to be able to recognize that person if they have white skin just like you have, or if they have black skin just like you have? So Joseph could have not been a white man. He was a black man. He was a man of color, just like the Hamites where they sojourned among. Whether we want to buy that or not. I mean, it's not that difficult to understand. It's not that hard to perceive. I mean, just common logic, if you read it, and you go back and research the origin or the genealogy of the Egyptians yourself, it's easy to understand. And if anybody cannot grasp that or understand that, it's because they want to still continue in this delusion. They still want to worship their white pagan Jesus. Don't you know that picture of that faggot-looking Jesus Christ? That's the image of the beast. That's the image of that beast. That's false. That is a false Messiah. Jesus Christ is a false Messiah. He is not Yahshua HaMashiach. He is anti-Messiah because he stands against everything that Messiah stood for. This white Jesus that they preach in the church today tell you that you don't have to obey the commandments, that he did away with it. Yeah, and they Jesus Christ, the pagan Jesus Christ, did away with the commandments because he is a lawless individual. Why? Because he is this image of this beast system that has been orchestrated, and all the earth marvel after this beast. They marvel after this image, this Caucasian-looking, effeminate, faggot-looking picture. They marvel after it. You say, well, Pastor, well, what you're saying sound crazy. It's not crazy, people. It's not crazy. I understand the analogy that many people today don't understand the difference between the Messiah of Scripture and the Christo or the Christ that has been handed down through this Roman Catholic Church, or this effeminate painting that has been painted up and presented to us as the Savior, as the son of Elohim. This ain't the son of Elohim. The son of Elohim don't look like that. There's nowhere in Scripture that tells us that the son of Elohim had long stringy hair flowing down his back. And these soft features and this comely look. The Scripture says that the Messiah that came to be the Savior of the world, that he had no comeliness about him. There was nothing attractive about him. No comeliness about him that any man should desire him. He didn't come looking like this faggot-looking thing, effeminate-looking thing, with this long, stringy hair. We're going to get into that. It's going to take a couple of teachings to really get into the full depth of this teaching today. Let's continue on. Genesis. It says that Joseph's brothers knew him not, but Joseph knew his brothers, but they knew not him. They did not know Joseph, all right? Let's also go to Genesis chapter 44, verse 18 to verse 20. I want to read these couple of scriptures, then we're going to open up the phone lines, okay? And then we're going to continue this teaching next Shabbat, okay? Genesis chapter 44, verse 18 to verse 20. Now look at this here. It says, then Yehuda came near unto him, him being Joseph, and said, O my master, let your servant, I pray you, speak a word in your ear, and let not your anger burn against your servant, for you are as a Pharaoh. It said, my master, ask him his servant, saying, have you a father or brother? And we will say unto you, master, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left, and his mother and his father loveth him. And they said unto him, unto thy servants, bow him down unto me, bring him down unto me, that I might set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my master, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he shall leave his father will surely die. And thou sayest unto thy servant, expect your youngest brother to come down with you. Ye shall see my face no more. Except your youngest brother come down with you, shall see my face no more. All right? Let's go to Genesis chapter 45, verse 1 through verse 4. I want to read this as well. Genesis chapter 45, verse 1 through verse 4. It said, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. He cried, caused every man to go out from him, from him. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brothers. All right? So Joseph had to make himself known unto his brothers. Why did he have to do that? If he did not resemble or look like an Egyptian, then he wouldn't have to make himself known to his brothers, because his brothers wouldn't know who he was if their complexion or their features were different from the Hamites or from the Egyptians, okay? I want to read one scripture here. Let's read this here. I want to read this in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 10. I want to read this one verse here, and then we're going to open up the phone lines at this time, okay? And we're going to get back into this teaching next week. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 10. And this is talking about Israel here, okay? It said, our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. Okay, if you look up this word, our skin, this means hide or leather or skin. It was black. This word black means to be intertwined or to contact, shriveled as with heat, or to be deeply affected with passion, love, or pity. Be black, all right? Let's read Job. I want to read this one more, too. Job. Job chapter 30, verse 30, I believe. Job chapter 30, verse 30. Joseph, my skin is black. This word black is shakar, which means to be dim or darkened in color upon me, and my bones are burnt with heat, okay? Jeremiah, I just want to run through these right quick. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 2, it says, Yehuda, Yehuda. This word Yehuda is the name of five Israelites, also the tribe descended from the first. All right, so this is talking about the tribe, Yehuda. Mourneth, and the gates, there are languishes, they are black. This word black here is, in the Hebrew, this word here is chadar, which means to be ash. That is dark colored. They are dark colored or blackish. They are dark. Black unto the ground, and they cry. The cries of Jerusalem is gone up. All right? We're going to get into some more scriptures and talk about this in more detail. At this time, I want to open up the phone lines. We have 33 minutes remaining. Those of you, if you enjoyed the broadcast today, feel free to call in. Feel free to call in. The number is 760-283-4615. We're going to continue this next Shabbat. We're going to go into more details, scriptures concerning the physical appearance of the Israelites, okay? I just brought out a few things. Hopefully, you all will go back and research some of the stuff that I talked about to see if it's true for yourself, all right? It's time that we stop buying into these lies and things of that nature perpetrated by those who want to keep us in bondage, keep us, our mental proclivity in bondage, and from realizing who the chosen and elect people of the Most High are, all right? At this time, the number is 760-283-4615. You call in, you'll be online on live with Raha Pathwell Ben Yaakov. Let's play a song here, and we'll wait for your phone call to come in.
Shalom, Israel. This is a song that I just wrote, and it's dedicated to all the Israelites out there that's waiting for Yahweh Shai to come take us out of this captivity. Here it is.
We're praying for salvation to Yahweh Bahashem, Yahweh Shai.
We're ready.
Come and get us from this place that you brought us. 'Cause now we know who we are, the sons and daughters of Yahweh. We're sorry for the sins we've done against you. Now we keep your laws, your statutes and come and get us from this awful place that you brought us. 'Cause now we know who we are, the sons and daughters of the Hamas. So won't you come and get us?
Come and get us.
We're waiting.
Shabbat Shalom, Kol Yisrael. You're listening to Sound of Trumpet Radio Ministry. I'm your host, Raha Pathwell Ben Yaakov. Join with you on this Shabbat day. Once again, the number to call in is 760-283-4615. You'll be on the air live with Raha Pathwell Yisrael.
But someone say joy. Joy. Joy's gonna come in the morning. Come on.
Shalom, Cody Israel. You're listening to Sound of Trouble Radio Ministry. I'm your host, Raha Pathwell Ben Yaakov. At this time, we're going to go ahead and end the broadcast for today. It was such a great pleasure being with you all, my brothers and sisters. Tune into the broadcast next week as we will be discussing and talking about this same topic, dealing with more scriptures, dealing with more incidents and relating them, seeing the correlation between the tribes of Hamite and the Israelite tribe as far as their resemblance and physical appearance. If you'd like to write me, you can write me at trueremnantministries@gmail.com. Also, we have a website, which is yhwhremnant.org. If you'd like to call me, my contact number is 573-944-6786. Until next time, we say shalom to you in the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Yah rest upon you. Shalom.